in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, December 20th, and there's really nothing more odd but true than the world we currently live in.
We got an Oops All Drones episode today, or drone adjacent,
yes,
if you will.
Related. Thank you all who answered the call of seeing something wild in the skies.
Turns out we got a lot of listeners in New Jersey, so thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
And y'all are dealing with some weird shit right now.
Yes.
If you've been on TikTok at all, you've seen probably thousands of videos that people, both residents and politicians, have taken of these drones over the skies of New Jersey. And just in the past, like, 20 hours, there's been some developments of what's probably going on up there.
And to clarify, we're recording this December 14th. So by the time you all hear this, who knows what might have been revealed. But if we know our government, they'll drag it out and lie to us for seven more days.
Which I think is what they've already been doing.
You know, it's funny. My our aunt that lives up in New Jersey just posted on Facebook in the past like 24 hours, like, I finally seen them. So, you know, it's one of those where you kind of go, I don't know. Is it just on TikTok? And it's like when it's our actual listeners and our family members going, I mean, I don't know. It's what I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's sure something up there. And that's definitely nerve wracking just to have anything unknown flying above you.
From what I've seen recently, it is most likely our own government, and they've been lying to us. Aren't we all shocked? This is kind of what I assumed was going on. Just some testing to, well, most of the theories are, to see how the public will react in a situation like this, but also to basically instill fear and panic so they can divert more funds to the military. If you get everybody up in an uproar and a tizzy, thinking we're all being invaded by another country or another realm, then everyone suddenly is like, do whatever you got to do to protect us. Well, it's our own people, most likely. So,
yeah, it's wild to me. I'm like, y'all don't think that we are aware of UAP behaviors, and these things behave like drones from Earth. They do not behave like the UAPs that boxed in the F-22s or that, you know, dive behind the submarines. For the most part, all the videos have had, you know, the red light, green light. So, but some of these in the descriptions don't fit. In the Freaky Friday stories today, don't necessarily fit the drone description. So who knows what's going on up there?
I don't know. One got shot down.
That's what I heard.
And by all accounts, they were like, it's a plane.
Yeah.
It's like a pieces. Looks like a plane.
Yeah. Chunks so, and pieces of it.
Most likely made by our own people.
Our
it
own
is
money.
Interesting, though, the area it's in, because it's a very triangulated area between like DC and some other sensitive
Philly,
sites to where it would make sense that this stuff's going on over there.
Plus
but
the
if
ocean.
You live there, it's still scary.
Yeah, definitely. Especially all night, every night.
Yeah, it's disruptive as well. Well, I'm Christy.
And I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Anonymous, and it's called New Jersey Drone Aliens, Dronians. Hi, ladies. I've got a short but sweet note for you today regarding the sightings of suspicious drones that have been seen over parts of New Jersey in the past few weeks. Disclaimer, I do not live in New Jersey anymore. This is from my very close friend, with her permission to share. However, I used to live in the area and I am familiar with it. Since mid-November of 2024, swarms of, quote, large fixed-wing drones have been seen hovering in the night sky over parts of New Jersey. My friend has seen them herself. She lives in a rural part of the state, which, unless you have been to New Jersey, is kind of hard to picture. Think the stepsister to Pennsylvania, half full of farms, half full of lawyers and doctors who want to live outside the major cities in peace. Very quiet, but if you were a bird, you could fly a straight line from Washington, D.C. to Philadelphia to this part of New Jersey to New York City within a few hours. My friend has a lot of land atop a hill that has been mostly cleared, surrounded by farms. literally nothing worth any interest within 50 miles. She also has an infant, so she's awake a lot during the night. And a few weeks ago, she started texting me about these weird drones she was seeing above her house and surrounding area, only in the middle of the night. She said they are dead silent and always felt like they were watching her back when she would stare out the windows at them. Slowly, it seems they have been growing in numbers. And while she was told one neighbor was successful in shooting one down, she has not heard anything else about what happened to it or if they could figure out what it was. It even came down to the mayor of the area going on the news and alerting the townspeople that if they see these drones at night, to not do anything except call the FBI. Yep, the FBI. What the fuck are these things? I sit on the fence between believing in paranormal and swimming in conspiracy theories, but there is something weird going on here. My personal thoughts, the area is not too far from the infamous Three Mile Island, which was recently purchased by Microsoft to build a mega data AI center, though that is not planned to be complete until 2028. What do we think? Thanks, ladies. Hope you and the families are enjoying the holidays.
Well, the watching back is certainly interesting given that my dad had top secret security clearance at Raytheon, and he's dead now, so try to come for him, Raytheon bitches. But he talked about back at that time, there were satellites that were capable of like reading a newspaper from, you know, satellite area. And that was, you know, 20-ish years ago. So the thought that perhaps a drone that's, I don't know, 3,000 feet in the air would be able to see you. And if you're kind of feels like you're looking at it, perhaps it is also looking at, you know, that's not unreasonable given the advancements in military technologies that happen, you know, incrementally now. I'm sure like over the last 20 years, they can read all kinds of shit.
Certainly. I find it very interesting too about the Three Mile Island connection. I think you might be on to something there, Anonymous. A mega data AI center. What are we doing?
They're
what
interested are we doing? In it. There's also a nuclear power facility that I did see on News Nation reported this over this weekend that some employees from there had been not quite whistleblowing, but like leaking information saying they saw these drones kind of hovering over a nuclear power facility. And again, not behaving in like what we talked about in the UAP episode where they're zipping and moving quickly. It's like not they're soundlessly, but just sort of like hovering and sitting in a way that like more of a surveillance drone would do. And like you said, like we're saying off the air, you're not going to just be able to fly your hobby drone over a nuclear plant and not get in trouble.
Or if you're in another country, you're not fly a drone over a sensitive area in the US and not get shot down. Oh. That's why it seems like that's the most compelling argument, in my opinion, of why this is our own government, because why wouldn't they have been shot down by now? And one pilot flew up there in his helicopter, and one of the men, even in the congressional hearing, said he just hovered above the drone, but he felt afraid, so he flew off.
Yeah.
Well, that's your fucking job, is to protect us from these things, and you felt threatened? Or were you, like, told to fly up there, make it look like you're doing something? But obviously, these are our guys, so just come on back down.
I think it's an interesting problem that we have in the United States that other states with a federalist form of government don't have, in that we have two separate forms of authority, that we have local authority that then answers to state authority, and then the feds. So if it's the feds flying it around, and for whatever reason, the state guy's up there in his helicopter and gets an inkling of like, oh, like you said, that's one of ours, and then go down and go, I had to let it go. I felt intimidated. And it's like, yeah, you felt intimidated because it's the Air Force, the Department of Defense, and you're in like Chopper 3 that was, you know, your local county chopper. I'm sure it's fine. But I don't know that they're intimidated because it's an alien. I think you're intimidated because you're like, oh, that's some shit I'm not supposed to fuck with.
Yeah. Or I also think you could be told, just go up there and make it look like you're doing something. But,
true. Right.
You know. It's, there's nothing the military in America loves to do more than to shoot at things. So the fact that these things, like hundreds of them are just flying around every night. Come on, give me a break. Although I was on a Reddit, a subreddit last night where someone linked all the police scanner audio from when one fell down. And it's interesting to listen to because it really does sound like you said, I don't think local cops are, you know, it's on a need to know basis, which is what one of our listeners emailed in and said too, as far as protecting our airspace and Air Force pilots, like we talked about in our UAP episodes, it's a need to know basis. Mm-hmm. So even those Air Force pilots, like if you see something like that up there, no, you didn't.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what was that? It's like, go back to your desk. You're good to go. Mm-hmm. Like, go do whatever you need to do. But we're not talking about this any further. Yeah. So it does seem like there's, and that's what Lou Elizondo argued in his book and his testimony, that it is siloed information and that is kept from literally the rest of us and held onto by a very small group.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Anonymous, for sending that in. Mm-hmm. And keep tracking the skies.
Yeah, keep your eyes on the
sky. Or your friend, keep tracking the skies.
My brave daughter. Thank you, Anonymous.
You're just up with your newborn in the middle of the night, and you've already got enough shit to deal with. Now you got drones looking back at you.
Like, I was going to binge watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but I guess I'll just look at the sky.
Yeah.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
Well, this next one is from Lainey, and it's called UAP UFO Sightings Over My Apartment in New Jersey. You guys, this drone situation in New Jersey is getting out of hand, and I'm fucking terrified. Everyone seems to think it's a joke. My friends and family say that I'm being paranoid, but I know I have every right to be scared and that my anxiety is valid. On my way to the gym, I was stuck in traffic when I noticed a very bright star in the sky that seemed out of place. Then I noticed another one to my left, and a few more all around my car. Some looked like small airplanes that were still in the sky with green and red lights. I'm sure the traffic I was sitting in was caused by people slowing down to look at these drones because they were getting closer as they surrounded us in a circle. Each drone appeared to be facing this stretch of roadway that I was on. I was so scared that I called my boyfriend and my parents to let them know what was going on, because I thought it was going to be the end for us. I got to the gym safe and sound and totally forgot about all of this until I saw the same drones above my part of town. These drones were over my apartment, but higher up in the sky. They almost blended in with the stars, but because I stargaze a lot, I know what a normal night sky looks like. There were countless of these false stars in the sky. I made my boyfriend come out to look at them with me to prove that I wasn't crazy. As he joined me in the parking lot, two military jets zoomed over us. Currently, I'm sitting on my couch with all the blinds down. The government is once again keeping us in the dark, saying that these drones aren't a threat. Then why do we have military vehicles and jets scrambling around New Jersey? Is it wrong that I wish these were aliens? I'm more scared that this is a large-scale attack from another country that our military wasn't able to catch in time. I'll keep you guys updated if anything else happens. Thanks for reading. Lainey. And then Lainey sent a video her friend sent her from X, and she also emailed us some videos of the drones over her own apartment and, smartly, a screen recording in case it gets taken down.
I've been saving things to my phone and also screen recording stuff because, yeah, whether Reddit takes it down or X or whatever. But yeah, when you see them flying, kind of like the one in the video Lainey sent, where they're flying at a steady rate of speed and they have the kind of real tip off that something is a terrestrial, you know, from Earth, essentially, is the red light on one side and the green light on the other side, because those are FAA mandated. You have to have those up if you're going to be in the sky. So when you're kind of seeing the drones with the red light on one side and the green light on the other side, I have seen a lot of, you know, perhaps unfamiliar with aviation people being like, oh my God, it's got lights on it. And it's like, yes, yes, legally it has to. But it's still, it is disturbing to have something low flying like that, especially it accompanied by, a lot of people have reported, sonic booms, which would be a jet scrambling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Regardless of what it is, to go from not anything in your sky to all of this day and night in your sky for weeks. I mean, if this was going on over Dallas, I would be very alarmed.
Yes.
I'm alarmed that it's happening there. If all of a sudden it starts happening here, I mean, our own military, another military, aliens, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. To be kept in the dark about something that's so prominent and you're seeing all the time is wrong, one, and unsettling and scary. So, yes, your anxiety is very valid.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It's wide-scale gaslighting, and that is the I am very thankful and appreciative of the many, many journalists that have asked really good, tough questions at these press conferences, because we continually have the Pentagon press conference going, No, it isn't. Like when the representative from New Jersey said, you know, I think it's Iran. I think there's a mothership. Within, you know, a couple hours, there was a Pentagon press conference with the spokesperson saying, well, it's not Iran. And it's, you know, there is no mothership. And then they're like, okay, so what is it? Well, we don't know. They're like, well, then how do you know? How are you saying it's not Iran? And there's no threat. Well, what is it then if there's no threat? Well, we don't know. It's like, fuck you. Yeah, you do. Like either say everybody watch out or it's like, we know what it is. It's classified. We're not going to tell you. But yeah. Like, and I, you could just hear it in the reporter's voice. That was like, almost like a, you know, like one of us would ask where it was like, so you don't know what it is. That's correct. But you're saying it's not a threat. That's correct. But if you don't know what it is, how could it not be that? And you could just
like
hear
rationalizing him, with yeah, one of my children.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I know you work for, like, you have a disinformation job, so I'm going to walk you through this. But it was wild to just have her be like, nope, that's not. And then, you know, sort of take questions and then bounce. And it's like, we all kind of see through this.
The one New Jersey representative that talked to that reporter with just the rain pouring down. Man, put that man in Congress. He's like, this is amateur hour. I drove 2 hours to be here. It was pointless. Nothing was said. They don't know what's going on up there. And now I got to drive 2 hours back. He was like, all of us.
Yes,
that man.
Yeah.
And you, it's genuine. Like, you're like, this guy doesn't know what's going on. And he was like, I showed up here, well, calm and kind of excited because I thought I was going to get some answers. And then he just left. Pissed.
Yeah, he is the physical embodiment of this could have been an email. Like, yes. Why did I just drive 2 fucking hours for this? Because you don't blame him. Like, especially if his job is to be a representative for the constituents that elected him and get answers on their behalf. And he's like, okay, I'm going into a meeting. And one of the representatives from Texas was at the federal hearings and kind of had the same attitude that was like, are you kidding me? Like, what are you telling me? What do you mean you don't know?
Why are we here?
We're the ones.
Why'd you call this meeting?
And at the end of the day, like in his book, Lou Elizondo's like, what's going to really move the needle on this is elected representatives getting pressure from their constituents. Like, we want answers because those elected representatives are going to get stonewalled and going to get real pissed because then they look like idiots. They're going to lose elections because it's like, mm-hmm. You don't even do anything for me in Congress. So that's what Lou Elizondo's like. You've got to smush the legislators in the middle. You've really got to pressure and shove them between the executive branch, the military, the DOD, and the public going, you've got, and journalism. And we've all got to just mash in on them. So pressure your representatives. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, this next one's from Chelsea, and it's called Orb Sighting. Hey, Cine Sisters, love y'all. I'm writing in again. I'm the gal whose parents pranked her and her friends at Halloween. My dad still talks about how our story got on the pod. Anyway, to my story about the orb. The year was 2002. Maybe I'm bad with years, but I was about 11 or 12. I had low-rise jeans that dragged the floor and bad lip gloss, headed to my friend's house. The home phone rang at 9 p.m., and my friend asked me to come over for a sleepover. I gathered my stuff up and started walking over. I lived in a neighborhood full of kids. It was built in a circle, and this particular friend of mine lived on the other side of the circle from me. I used to sneak through a neighbor's yard to get to her house faster. On this night, with my Snoopy-shaped backpack and pillow in hand, I started down my driveway, which was about 3 or 4 cars long. The stars were out on a very clear summer night. I'm talking no clouds. When suddenly, I saw a whitish light orb fly over me and keep going. What was that? I thought to myself and stopped. I looked around and then saw it again. It looked like it was looping around. I looked around to see if maybe one of the prankster boys in my neighborhood was somehow messing with me. Nobody. The block was dark and shadowy. The orb kept circling as I kept walking, when suddenly it had stopped right above me. That's when I didn't think, I just ran. I took my shortcut through the neighbor's yard and sprinted up to her door, rang the doorbell, and anxiously waited for her to answer the door. The orb was gone. It didn't follow me. I thought, was that a ghost? Aliens? Or my neighbor boy messing with me somehow? No, couldn't be the neighbor. There was no sign of anyone, and it didn't look like a flashlight. My friend opened the door, and I kept it to myself. She was older and cooler than me, so I thought she would think I was weird. And besides, how would I prove it happened? The orb was maybe the size of a beach ball, white, and looked like a light. I never saw it again, even though I did look for it. Had to share, since you were talking about aliens and orbs. I'm also from Minnesota, and for what it's worth, I too remember hearing some lore about there being a giant squid in Lake Superior. Here's some pictures from the Halloween party with the strangers. My dad found them and asked me to send them to you. I was dressed as a fox, and my husband was Punk that year.
Ha! Well, first of all, the goat head is, as I imagined it, fantastic.
It's so much scarier seeing this picture to imagine these two
that showing you thought up it was your parents.
Door. Oh my gosh, I love it.
Nightmare.
Though.
Oh,
and
I love
that your parents love that it got on the pod. And thank you, Dad, for sending us this picture. It's great.
Thank you, thank you. Well, this is different than like a drone, right? And more of the orb that was described in Imminent, the Lou Elizondo book, and like UFO of God, which is Chris Bledsoe's book. So an orb, you know. Is it plasma? Is it ball lightning? Is it, I don't know. And if so, there's some hypotheses that plasma has, I won't say intelligent insofar as that it understands you, but almost like following something that's nearby. You know, it's not like it recognizes you as a human and wants to be your friend. It's like you are the warmest thing around. And so it
tracking?
Does. Yes.
What you're describing is predator.
Yeah. I was going to say, to me, it doesn't seem like, I don't think it, my understanding, which is early, and I just ordered this book after reading an article, but it was like, it's almost like it just knows that it's heat and wants the heat. It's not like I'm going to attack that thing. So when people are like, it was weird, it felt like it followed me or it followed my car. And it's like, well, you know, your car engine or you or you know, whatever it is that it might be following you, which that does make you feel crazy. It does make you feel like, am I being watched by like a ghost? And it's like, I don't know, man, sometimes maybe static electricity. I don't know.
No telling, but definitely something that would stick with you, especially if you're just trying to go to a sleepover with your Snoopy backpack.
You show up to the sleepover like, oh my God, let's talk about boys. And you're like, do you want to talk about ball lightning and orbs? And it's like, wait, no. But you know what? Maybe, who knows? Maybe if you did bring it up, she would have been like, let's go watch Unsolved Mysteries.
Right? That was me.
Well, let us know if you see it again. And thank you for your picture.
Yes. Thanks, Chelsea.
Well, this next one is from Sarah. And the subject line is a UAP quickie. Hi, I can't express how much I appreciate both of you and love your podcast. Insert all the wonderful things every other listener that's written in has said. Now, let's get into it. I'm sure the words UAP and quickie being in the same sentence was intriguing as heck. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I did not have a sexy alien abduction. It's just a quick little story about me seeing a UFO when I was in high school. Just to set the stage a little bit, I grew up on the edge of suburbia and small town Minnesota, one of those one stoplight and three liquor stores type of place. It was 2007, and I was running late for pep band. It was about 7 p.m. on a clear midwinter evening. Just as I got out of my car, I looked up and saw a gigantic triangular dark object gliding just above the trees. It made our school look like a kid's toy with its massive size. It made no sound, didn't cause a breeze of any kind, had no lights that I could see, and it seemed as if time and nature stood still as it went past. I only knew it was there because it covered the stars and the night sky as it glided. I blinked and it was gone, like it had just disappeared into thin air. I looked around and there was no one else in the parking lot to verify what I'd witnessed. It was just me. I went on with my evening, confused and debating whether I should tell anyone about it. It took me many years before I got the courage to share it with anyone, but I'm glad more people have gotten the courage to share their stories and visual evidence so we can all, hopefully, feel less alone and less stigmatized with our experiences. So, what do you think I saw? Was it an extraterrestrial out for a Thursday stroll or a secret government ship of some sort?
You know, I think it's 50-50 perhaps.
Right? Yeah. And that's kind of the question of maybe there was a ship from somewhere else a while back and then we reverse engineered, hacked it and are like using it or this does fit the description of UAPs that you see in the catalog where it makes no sound. The massive size, seemingly disappearing out of nowhere, and a movement that is there's almost no resistance, no wind resistance, no things
no
like that. Yeah, the shape of it sounds to me like what Jerry and Steve saw, the guys in the Bridgewater Triangle, the two news anchors.
Oh yeah,
who saw something that looked similar like this, and in the documentary, he's got his like shape that he made at home and attached a flight to it.
I like that you mentioned that you were afraid to share this for a while because of feeling, you know, like you're going to be made fun of. And I do agree that, like with anything, the more people that get the bravery to come out and tell what happened to them, then the more people that are going to also be able to do that. There's, you know, a lot of encouragement in community and storytelling and sharing your own stories. So thank you, Sarah, for doing that. And also with anybody, if you've seen something, you're not crazy. Okay.
No,
like
yeah.
We don't know what it is, but that doesn't mean you didn't see it. It doesn't have to be from another planet or down in the ocean. It could have been, and probably was, our own government.
We paid for
it. That doesn't
mean
you didn't see anything.
Right? It's like, I deserve to know what that was because I'm pretty sure I paid for that. Like, I'm sorry. It's like, the family is, everyone's, we're going to take 50% of your money and then we're going to do secrets with it. And it's like, but wait, I want to know what you do with it. And it's like,
no,
well, it's secret.
Can't. So you'll see it in the sky one night, maybe.
And
you're
then
lucky.
if you tell anyone about it, we'll tell them all you're crazy and we'll ruin your life. And it's like,
true.
Wait.
Yeah.
So,
I think that applies to a lot of powerful information amongst several industries. It's like, if you learn about it or you see something you weren't supposed to, they'll just gaslight everybody into thinking that you're crazy.
Yeah, there's entire officers whose jobs at the Pentagon is to take in people who have had sightings and then sort of strong arm them and convince them, no, they did not. And then if that doesn't work, then you try to gaslight them. And I'm glad that a lot of the whistleblowers have taken the Leah Remini approach that she's done with Scientology, where she's like, if they're going to try to kill me, they're going to have to do it in broad daylight. I will live stream. I will have cameras on me. You know, they're very, you almost have to be like loud about it because you don't. And like that one journalist who was like, I'm going to, you know, release this reporting. I just want you to know I don't have any self-harm thoughts. I don't take risks, you know, because it is a real risk.
Yeah, for sure.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Well, this next one's from Erica, and the subject line is Mysterious Teardrop in Alaska. Dearest Sinister Babes, first things first, thanks for making such a fantastic podcast. Y'all are my fave. I really appreciate the sensitivity you have with heavy subjects, and also the laughs when appropriate. Most podcasts that cover the kind of subjects you do just don't hit the mark for me, but y'all do 110%. As a little thank you, I sent over a shrimp calendar recently. I hope you enjoy it. Maybe my dad and I will need to do a McGruff shrimp shoot in the future. Anywho, I've had a bunch of spooky and freaky things happen in my life, but it's time to finally send over my experience with an unknown entity in the air. Did I see an extraterrestrial at work or play? Was it a government test flight that went a bit too long, accidentally breaking into early morning dawn? I don't know, but it was definitely an unidentifiable object in the sky. I'll set the scene. It's 1994 in Valdez, Alaska, a fairly remote town around 3,000, and at the time, a good 8-hour drive from the nearest stoplight. Valdez is gorgeous, completely surrounded by mountains and the ocean, with low-hanging clouds and more snow and rain than most people can truly fathom. That watershed effect, though! I was in fourth grade, and my family had just moved back up north after living in a Seattle suburb for around 6 years, and it was all pretty new to me. It was a fall morning, and I probably had been there for about a month. A neighbor friend's mom loaded a bunch of us kids in her van to take the drive from 10 Mile to the elementary school in town. Side note, 10 Mile is the location of the old town of Valdez, which was tragically lost in the Good Friday earthquake of 64. After the earthquake, the remaining townsfolk moved about 10 miles over. While the old town location is vacant, aside from some signs and building foundations, there's a good number of houses nearby. I've never been much of a morning person, and as we drove past the Duck Flats, I sleepily gazed at a gorgeous, huge mountain incredibly far away. Through my fuzzy, half-awake eyes, I saw something odd. It was some kind of huge teardrop in the sky. I rubbed my eyes, thinking I must be seeing things. This couldn't be right. When it was still there, I remember thinking, well, I guess this is it. I thought my brain would be good for longer, but I must really be losing it. Always the pragmatic child. But sure enough, it was actually there, giant and hovering above the mountain. An incredibly large, upside-down, black teardrop with yellow in the middle. Or was it yellow on the outside and black in the middle? This was a long time ago, and that detail is a bit fuzzy. I told my little sister, who thankfully also saw it. A kid who commanded the attention of the room, she immediately yelled, "Pull over the car and look out the window!" My friend's mom pulled over and we sat there, all five of us or so, watching this bizarre, enigmatic shape hover above the snow-capped mountain. I'd say we watched it for maybe 15 seconds or so before it zipped behind the mountain with incredible speed and smoothness. I thought maybe the adult would have an answer, but of course she didn't. We sat in silence for a minute before finishing the drive to school. I always had a lot of questions about this. Exactly how far away was this mountain peak, and how big was this teardrop in relation? It was bigger than any aircraft I've seen, or can really even fathom. And how did it move so quickly? Things don't move that fast, even close up, much less that far away. It traveled some serious distance at an intense speed. I was determined to find an answer and asked every meteorologist, scientist, professional, outdoor enthusiast, etc. that came to our school. There had to be some kind of logical answer, right? That probably helped me earn the title of the weird new kid, but also someone had to know, right? I was just doing my due diligence. All these years later, I still don't have any answers, other than assuming the yellow could have been fuel burning off. There's talk of government testing in Alaska, but the idea of this being human-created leaves me with even more questions. It was just so big, so fast, unusual in movement, and oddly shaped. And where could it have landed if it needed to? Everything around us was just mountains and glaciers. The road out of town was literally blown up through a mountain. Also, people were still using CD-ROMs to access the internet. Were humans really advanced enough for all that? It's very sus to me. I've long since accepted that I'll probably never have an answer, but part of me will always hope for one. Maybe someone will hear this story and have a similar tale to share. That at least would be something. There's just such little information out there for such a big-ass thing I saw in the sky. Thanks for reading. Keep looking up and keep it creepy. Erica. P.S. I've included a photo of Valdez so you can see this pretty place and some of the giant mountains. Past the city, you can see the road we were on with the muddy flats next to it. The mountains on the right are loosely where the mysterious teardrop was hanging out. Alaska's wild, am I right?
You are very right that Alaska is wild and beautiful.
Yeah.
This is an incredible picture and what a place to grow up in.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard from several people Alaska is a weird place for seeing stuff. I mean, the Alaska Triangle episode.
Yeah.
Government testing.
Mm-hmm.
Where did it go? Maybe inside that mountain.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, it's wild. Something that's shaped like that. Again, it's, you know, possibly plasma, you know, to the extent something could be real electricity gathered together, given that it's a mountain, it's kind of high up. I never know, wind speeds and whatever's gathering up there as if, you know, like lightning and stuff like that. Or, mm-hmm. Yeah, our government hacks something backwards and is like, listen, baby, yeah, we can do this. Yeah, I don't know. I hope someone listening has seen something that shape. The description that you give matches Imminent and other, you know, the government, Immaculate Constellation, insofar mm-hmm. as like being around it, a teardrop-ish type of shape somehow, as well as the instantaneous acceleration after hovering or staying somewhere. So that's wild. The black and yellow, I have not heard, but
I haven't heard that either.
I appreciate a realistic memory of like, I think it was like this, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure. So, you're trying your best.
More importantly, though, Erica, is...
Baby. Speaking of odd things in Alaska.
This calendar. Heather stopped by the post office and then brought it over the other night. We did not know what it was. We opened it together, and it's been the highlight of my week. Apart from Elif getting her first basket at her basketball game today.
the crowd goes wild, first of all. Let's recognize that.
And then the stripper calendar. This is just incredible. And the story behind it, Heather is displaying it.
We're going to have Paris clip this part out and make sure this whole part is on YouTube. It's shrimpwhisperak.com. Al Lauder is the Shrimp Whisperer. And this calendar is one of the greatest pieces of art I've ever seen, personally.
It's so good.
I can't take it. I've begun to sweat. I'm so excited about
it. Erica, your dad is a legend. Everyone go to this website.
Yeah.
He was a shrimp harvester and then decided, there's got to be something more I can do with these amazing creatures. And mm-hmm. he now poses them with tiny little shrimp-sized props and takes very impressive photos of them in different types of scenarios. And if you're needing some Christmas cards last minute, Heather was on the site like, think I can get a box of these delivered to me overnight?
And plus, you know, a new year's coming. You need a calendar at your desk at work. It's a conversation starter.
January might be my favorite, which thank you, because my birthday's in January. This marvelous, like, unicorn, but on a mountain. It kind of is giving Beyonce in her most recent tour. And just this shrimp, like, posed on the back.
It's fantastic. October is my birthday, and it's dentist.
Great one.
Shrimp's going to the dentist with Dennis Barbie. I had this Barbie as a kid, and I was like, oh, I had that Barbie. I had that Barbie chair. I told Paris, I had that little Barbie toothpaste, and now I just rub it between my fingers. He's like, was there toothpaste in it? I was like, no, it was just like
plastic. Yes. Oh, yeah. I loved many things like that.
So good. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Erica, for sharing not only your story about this orb, that's wild, but also this wonderful, beautiful calendar. I love it so much. Like I said, it's going in the kitchen. I guilted Christy into it because we were both looking at it, and I was just like, it's really pretty, isn't it? It's really nice, right? Yeah. And she was like, did you want to take it home? And I was like, only if you don't want it. Only if you didn't want it.
It's I will enjoy it anytime I come over to your home. Yeah. It's wonderful. And what was the website again so everybody can go support?
Yes. ShrimpWhisperAK.com. There's just not art like this you can get on Amazon or at your Walmart or Target. This is the type of art that only comes from a person that's passionate about it. And I would also like to say briefly, Erica, in July, the Paris pointed this out that it is a Viking ship of shrimp, and Paris said, oh, the Vikings would do raids in July. That's historically accurate.
Yeah, this whole calendar is historically accurate through and through.
I love it.
These shrimps know what they're doing. What are they doing in that picture?
They're going on, it's the one from the cover. They're going on a little ride. It's like a tilt-a-whirl, a shrimp
love
tilt-a-whirl.
That.
Man, it's incredible.
And just FYI, we did have to discuss for quite some time, are these alive or are they not? Which sounds ridiculous because, of course, they're not. They can't live out of... Well, I still don't know, but I was like, I don't think they're this color, though, when they're alive. TBD. Erica, you tell us.
We
think that they're not because they can't live out of water and they're not that color, but if we're wrong... Let us know.
They also, it struck us that they would wiggle quite a bit.
Yeah. They might not sit still for their photo shoot. But again, perhaps we are wrong and your father has trained these shrimp kind of like a flea circus situation.
I would like to say, too, these images are not digitally manipulated. Every shot is staged with real shrimp-sized props. And his daughters encouraged him to do something. And so Erica helped design this calendar. So we also love a family business. So shout out to the Shrimp Whisperer and shout out to – and made in Alaska, too. So there you go. Alaska's
home. There you go. Alaska's wonderful. It's beautiful for so many reasons. Orbs, incredible. Mountains, and the shrimp that they produce.
And the whisperer they're from. Oh, thank you. Sinisterhood will be right back. Well, this last one is from Jennifer, and the subject line is the strangest car tags. Hello. First off, I love your podcast. I've recommended it to everyone who so much as breathes the word podcast. I'm convinced at least 10 of your subscribers are my fault. This story has stuck in my head for years. It's short, but one of those weird little mysteries that makes you wonder if we're all just NPCs in some government simulation. So, years ago, around 2008 or 2009, my husband, well, ex-husband, but more on that later, and I lived in Oklahoma. And once a year, we'd pack up our four kids in a rented minivan and drive to New York to visit his family. Why drive 20 plus hours, you ask? Because my ex thought airline tickets were too expensive, and being trapped in a van with four overtired young kids for an eternity was apparently worth the savings. Anyway, this particular trip was somewhere in the far reaches of Pennsylvania, which, if you've ever driven through there, is just trees, hills, and the occasional rest stop. I was driving. He was, quote, trying to sleep, but really doing that half snoozing, half criticizing that some spouses seem to do. It was mid-afternoon, and we were still a few hours from New York City, and my nerves were frazzled, fried, and tired at the same time. And that's when it happened. Two black cars came speeding up behind us out of nowhere. When I say speeding, I mean flying like bats out of hell. One was a Cadillac sedan. The other was a big black SUV, either an Escalade or a Suburban. Hard to tell because they blew past us so fast. What made my adrenaline really spike was their license plates. Both were pitch black. The entire tag was black, except for a bright red outline triangle on the left side of the plate. No letters, no numbers, just nothing. I screeched, "Oh my God, what is that?" That shook my ex out of his almost nap. He saw the same thing I did. "Catch up," he demanded, as if our rental van was a NASCAR car. Now, I'm no race car driver, but I tried my best to speed up. I went as fast as I dared. I did have four kids in the back. But it didn't matter. Those cars were gone. We never saw them pull off the road or make an exit. We never saw brake lights or even taillights disappearing into the horizon. Just gone. Like they hit some secret turbo button and vanished into the Pennsylvania highway. For the rest of the drive, we were both wired. No amount of truck stop coffee has ever given me that kind of adrenaline rush. We spent the rest of the drive debating FBI, Secret Service, shadowy government agents, the men in black, perhaps. I Googled those creepy black plates for weeks after the trip and got nothing. Not one lead, just a lingering sense that we saw something we weren't supposed to. Here's the kicker. Even years later, long after our marriage ended, my kids will sometimes casually say, "Hey, Dad wants to know if you still think about those tags." It was one of the only things that we truly bonded over. Spoiler, I absolutely do. Because seriously, what were those tags? I've attached what I drew in Google Docs from what I remember about the tag. As you can see, it's pretty simple. "Thank you for being the best podcast. You are all truly the best." And she included a creepy ass picture.
Yeah, it looks like something from the Illuminati.
Yeah.
An Illuminati car.
Yeah, it's wild. The black plates, you know, I don't think you're too far off saying maybe it's like a government ops
secret
or whatever.
Secret Service, yeah.
Or, yeah, I mean, the secret, they say like U.S. government or Secret Service on them. I'm like DOD, military, some high up. The red triangle piqued my interest only because there have been mentions of red triangles on one of the subjects that the government took seriously, their claims of an encounter with some interdimensional being. One of the subjects described a red triangle on the chest of the being that he encountered. Mm-hmm. To the extent, A, he really did encounter it. B, he saw what he said he saw. But I just thought it was interesting, apropos of nothing, you sent this thing with the red triangle, and I just finished reading a book where a guy said, "And the strangest thing of all, the only thing I could really make out at all on this person's body, or not person, on this figure's body, was a red triangle on its chest."
Well, maybe those things are driving Escalades.
He's like, "I love an Escalade."
Honestly, I'd drive an Escalade over a spaceship if I had to go
just
to
for
the ground.
Pleasure?
Yeah. I'm getting an Escalade. I'm getting a Range Rover, first of all.
I need something nice and wide berth, especially if I'm used to driving around in, you know, a spaceship. I'm not going to come down and drive in like a tiny sedan. Yeah, a golf cart. I need something like with like a display, heads-up display.
It's bizarre that this happened near Pennsylvania, where other things are happening too. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it just kind of vanished. And a lot of people think there are government sites over there where you could just kind of drive into something that if you didn't know, like, this hole in the mountain was there, then you wouldn't know it was there. But if you do, you do.
Yeah, if you know, you know. And, you know, once we went down into Subtropolis, just which is totally open to the public and normal, but just given, like, driving by it, you're like, "Oh, I wouldn't know that that's what that was." You know, if I didn't know what that was and there was not an open entrance to see it. So all that to say, it is, there are, Dallas has tunnels underneath it, you know, of course, more like pedestrian tunnels. But insofar as like you could have a subterranean network of just like, you know, because you would want to keep it hidden from your adversaries. Yeah. You don't want to be able to have drones flying over and knowing all your business.
Yeah. Or you just eventually put them all out in the open to see like what would happen. Like,
freak them
out.
What's
going to happen? When? How will the public react? Well, we're going to put it all on TikTok. And if they take this app away from us,
I swear to God,
that's going to be it. That's, you're taking like,
the revolution will begin and it will be live streamed.
Yeah. Really though. I mean, Stephen Greer is going viral all over TikTok right now. And just like in the past couple hours has been posting stuff saying in the next 30 days by January 2025 or so, a lot of information is going to be released that hasn't been previously from whistleblowers and whatnot that may answer a lot of these questions. It's interesting that we're seeing a lot of this drone activity, and then this might also be coming out at the same time. So
true.
It's but in one of his TikToks, he said, I'm going to send everything I have to every celebrity. First of all, don't do that because
unless it's Tom DeLonge. Yeah, true, I mean, truly, Tom DeLonge is like responsible.
Shirley MacLaine, Rosie O'Donnell, they're allowed to know.
They're good ones.
But also, he said, influencers, content creators, because the corrupt mainstream media, as he put it, and I won't disagree, is not going to get it out there. And that's why they want to ban TikTok, is because mm-hmm. it is unregulated. And if, but he even said, like, podcasters, creators, like, everybody has to put this out there to get as many eyes on it as possible, because that's how it's going to get out to the masses. It's not going to get out to the masses from traditional media. So we're doing our part by letting you guys know about this. But, you know, I don't know. Who's to say? He's been saying a lot of stuff for a couple years. There's different camps of, like, this is the same old of, like, mm-hmm. teasing information is going to be released soon and, like, then it doesn't. Or there's another side that's like, it's finally happening. So who knows?
Yeah,
that's going to happen.
That's a good point. And it dovetails with what Ross Coulthart said on News Nation of his sources within both the CIA, the FBI, as well as the U.S. Air Force, that the information's just sort of bursting. Like, it's about to leak out. Like, what has been purposefully obfuscated from the public, from the taxpayers, and from the elected representatives is getting ready to burst. And he said in interviews he thinks it'll be in Q1 of 2025, you know, whether it's by the end of January or by, he said, because he was doing an interview and the person that was interviewing him said, I'm going to call you back in March. And if you were wrong, I'm going to I'm going to roast you. And he said, please do. Cause this genuinely, I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I'm just going off the sources and the information I had. And that is why in his book, Lou Elizondo said he named it imminent, because he said he believed that some type of disclosure is imminent. Now he said, do I think it means it's in the next 30 days that this comes out? No, but it will not be 25 years from now. It will be shorter than that. So we'll see, man. It's new
Happy
year.
Birthday to me. Maybe January 4th, 2025. That's when we learn everything.
Take me. Take us all, though. Like, come on now.
Yeah. Don't just take me.
There's certain people. Can we all collectively make a list?
And yeah, we'll have a list. I mean, Santa does, so why can't exactly. we? We have a naughty and a nice list.
We're checking it twice. We're going to find out.
Yeah. Well, they're going to take us down to the ocean or out to space. I don't know, whichever one it is.
Either way.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm on board.
literally.
As long as we have microphones, I feel like we can do this job from just about anywhere.
We're like, hey, everybody, we're coming to you live from above the International Space Station. We're just circling out here. We took a flight on the Boeing ship. I know it was the cheapest ticket. All right, we're stuck up here now. But seriously, if anybody listening has, any idea about this red triangle thing or all black tags, you know, I know we've got to have military folks, government mm-hmm. contractors, somebody, your secret is safe with us. Message us on some, you know, whatever an encrypted messenger thing is.
I know. And, isn't that wild, though, that everything is digital? So it can get wiped. So you could also mail us a letter.
Yeah, but, actually.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that gets intercepted. I don't know how to do anything anymore.
Yeah, honestly, that probably is like the most nobody knows where it's from. If you want to mail us a letter at Sinisterhood Podcast, P.O. Box 570626, Dallas, Texas, 75357. If you feel uncomfortable about emailing or DMing what you know and you want to send us a secret.
Oh, wow.
Send it to us to the post office
I look
box.
Forward to the manifestos we're about to receive.
You know I'll read every fucking word.
Oh yeah, we have boxes where we keep all the cards that we get, so now we have a manifesto box.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be a bigger one certainly, but yeah, please feel free.
Yeah, anybody that has stories that are similar to this, or maybe you saw the same thing around the same time. I mean, these span, you know, a decade plus, so I don't know. Maybe we're on the brink of something.
Hopefully so. Well, we'll all check. You're hearing this December of 2024. If you are hearing this like in December 2025, and you're like, look at those ignorants. They had no idea that our alien friends were among us this whole time.
Yeah.
Maybe by the time somebody's listening to this in the future, it'll be a whole nother world. But
just like
more beautiful
listening
one,
to us in 2019 talking about COVID and then how optimistic we were about that one.
In like February, we're like, maybe we'll go to that comedy show. And it's like, no, you won't. Not for years. You're not going to any comedy show, kid.
It'll never be like, the same again.
It'll all go back, won't it? And you just want to go back and hug us. So
yeah,
perhaps you're listening in the future. Time's a flat circle. So we'll see you there.
Well, thank you so much to everyone for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 900 hours of various segments that just run the gamut from true crime to advice on love lives to what kind of weird shit did Heather find on Reddit. It's all over the place. We got something for everybody.
Absolutely. And if you want to see what it's all about without the commitment, we have free trials. You can join for free for a week. Check out all the perks. And if you cancel before the trial's over, you won't get charged. You can also stick around as a free member. If you do, you'll get all the updates on what we're doing all the time, as well as you'll get a free archive bonus content once a month sent to you as like a throwback slash thank you just for being there. And you can join our upcoming live streams in 2025. You can go back and watch all of the previous live streams that we've done. And check out Minisodes. All the bonus content are discount codes for merch, as well as the best listeners on the whole internet.
All the best listeners, and maybe the best aliens. You know, I feel like if I'm letting you know,
if you're already listening,
if you and you can, we know you can because you've got crazy technology. Just know that we're on your side.
We're fans of yours. Yeah. We're like good ones. Like, seriously, you can probe me within reason. We got to talk about like consent, but I have boundaries that are flexible depending on what you want to do. So we'll talk about it. It's not a hard no from me.
I'll sign an NDA.
Right. That's Sinisterhood Podcast, P.O. Box 570. No, I'm kidding.
We get a return address of just 123 bottom of the ocean floor. Yeah.
It just says 35,000 leagues under the sea. You're like, oh, there you go.
There it is.
Well, head over to sinisterhood.com, click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, tote stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists. And if you're looking for last-minute gifts, a gift to a subscription gift to Patreon, or a cameo, we can do it in 24 hours if you're like, shit, I gotta get something ASAP.
Yes, it's the 20th. The clock is ticking down. Merch may or may not get there just based on timing. But if you go to patreon.com/sinisterhood/gift, it is super duper easy to gift a Patreon subscription. And if you go to cameo.com/sinisterhood, you can order a holiday cameo. And like Christy said, they can come within 24 hours. We'll do a final batch usually on the 23rd. We do like kind of shut it down after that. But we'll make sure to get it all to you before Christmas. And even if somebody else got him a cameo, you know it'll be totally custom because every video is different. So if you're scrambling last minute, either of those digital options will come through for you and you'll look like a hero and you'll look very thoughtful and we won't tell them when you ordered it.
In fact,
we'll be like, we're recording this in November because they're so thoughtful. If you want us to lie, put it in there. We will for you.
We'll make it look like it's summertime.
Just in tank tops, like, just kidding. It's 70 degrees in Dallas. So we can pretend it's summer.
True.
For sure.
Yeah. It's a balmy 70.
It's lovely. Well, you can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube to watch our live streams from the porch sometimes, as well as full Wednesday episodes and clips from our Friday episodes. Go watch clips from the show on TikTok. Like we said, cameo.com for those custom video shout outs. And Christy, where are you at on the internet?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather, what about you?
I'm online reposting drone vids at Heather versus the world.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
sinning.